And during the 50s, I thought that our life was just wonderful. It seemed like I was doing everything I was supposed to do, although a lot of the times I was very bored and didn't know what to talk about when Al and I finally were together. And it wasn't until 10 to 15 years down the line that I began to become dissatisfied enough that it affected me to the point where I was going crazy. It changed.
How do you define yourself now?
I'm just not the same person. I mean, I am the same person. We're all the same person. But my goals in life are different. I think I have a much better understanding about what, you know, what's going on in my life, what's going on in the greater world. I have a much better understanding about, I've learned so much, and I continue to learn so much about how the world continues to change, and I have a philosophy, and I have values today that I did not have when I was during the 1950s, that guide my life so that I am nowhere near as frustrated, nor certainly as angry in the way that I used to be, and that I can direct my anger, my frustration, hopefully in more productive ways. I'm concerned about what's happening today in the greater world. I see the Western way of living to be extremely destructive, particularly under the patriarchy, although if it was a matriarchy, I don't think it would be any better. Just us being women isn't going to make it any better. It's systems that dehumanize people and that emphasize success in terms of how much assets you have, how much wealth you have. And when we live in a world where it's deliberately designed so that there's not enough to go around, and that a few hoard so much of it, so that there isn't enough to go around, and you've got people fighting with each other, and people being used against each other by those who are in power, and those in power right now are the white males. So I mean, I can see all of this today that I didn't see then, and I mean, women. The feminist movement, as it's defined today, is in fact defined by the white male power structure. Feminism today, by definition, is not my feminism. It's not equal pay for equal work. I don't want a piece of their pie. I don't like their pie. The pie has to change.
Well, what is your feminism? How do you define it?
What I would like to live in is a society that is egalitarian, that is sharing, that shows respect for all life, that doesn't divide people in terms of who they are, what they wear, what color they are, what age they are, but in fact works to make life good for all things, including that life which isn't human, and that recognizes the interaction of all of life and the importance of all of life being interdependent. I don't believe that. I think competition is extremely destructive, and that change, we have to have that kind of change in order for all of us to benefit. That just to isolate making women's lives better and then everything's going to be better isn't going to do it. Women's lives need to be better, and I will fight for women's lives to be better, but I also know that children's lives need to be better. Afro-American lives need to be better. Asian lives need, doesn't matter where you are. Were we to be living in Japan, women's lives are really bad. It doesn't matter. We live in a world that has a very narrow perspective, very short range. And my feminism is inclusive. You know.
If you were a young woman today, what would you be doing?
I'd probably be doing what most young women are doing today, which is struggling. And I'd probably be, if I had a consciousness, then I probably would be out there fighting and looking for other women to be able to try to make changes. But it isn't happening today. Here in the United States, we live in terrible times for women. Very regressive, very punitive. The sexism is rampant. There's nothing to watch on television. essentially nothing to watch on television. Disgusting. Women are put down, women are playthings again. We have to wear these cutesy poo clothes where we can't do anything. We're extensions of men, we're there for the love interest. As a young woman, I guess, if I had a consciousness, I'm sure I would be out there fighting on some level. If I didn't have a consciousness, I'd be doing what every other young woman is doing, which is trying to survive.
Do you have any advice for young women today?
Yeah, I do. That we need to remember, we need to think in terms of life as waves on an ocean or musical waves, where you have peaks and you have valleys, and you have peaks and you have valleys, and you have peaks, and that we'll hit a valley, but we're also going to go for a peak, and that change occurs in the peaks, and that watch for the change, and be aware that we just need to work constantly, and not to feel bad when we're in a valley, but try to make that change, and that life is constantly changing into peaks and valleys, and sometimes they're very dramatically wide apart, and sometimes they're not too wide apart, and they are not necessarily all at the same frequency. Is that what it is? Frequency. Yeah, frequency. But that they can be further apart or closer together, and that good times will come. And sometimes if they're too good times, then they can be a slump. We get too sloppy and too lazy and we take for granted the very things that we work very hard for, and assume that we'll always have it. And before long, we begin to lose out, and then it means we have to pick up and work again. We need to work again. We saw this with the abortion ruling with Roe versus Wade, although that didn't give us abortion on demand. You know, the government give us and the government take it away.
Right.
Supreme Court and give it, and that's what happened. And, I mean, those of us who saw Roe versus Wade go through were so happy. Oh, our problems are all solved. Now, you know, it's going to be good forever, and, you know, bingo, you know, just being eroded. So we're coming, you know, we're in regressive times, not very good times, but we need to keep working to try to figure out ways to make it better for all people, and the emphasis should be on, you know, we are the most important things. All of us have value. All of us have value. And that's kind of where I think of that.
Great. The only thing I didn't ask you that, but I wanted to ask you was the role of pop culture in your life during the 50s, and how, like you were mentioning TV, did TV ever play a large role in your life? Like you were just talking about,
right.
Anymore.
Right. Okay, that's good. That's a good question. When I was going to school and working, that's all I did. It was survival time. And I was not a part of any particular subculture that I can recall. When I was in college, I didn't belong to a sorority. I had no time. I was just surviving. What social activities I had were through the men that I dated.
Musical movies and some concerts.
Right. My dad had television at home, and we were never allowed to watch it. My father watched it. When I married, we didn't have a television. I don't know whether it was because we couldn't afford it or we were just too busy. Well, both. We finally bought a little black and white in. I think we bought it for $65 somewhere, because I was home at night grading papers or putting Murray to bed or something. And I was really bored. I was tired of reading. And so we brought television in. I don't remember anything about television, except that it was just mostly passive time-wasting. I don't recall ever being a part of anything other than being this student's wife, having children, and struggling to keep my head above the water. Or young faculty wife with children struggling to keep her head above the water, or older faculty wife where life began to get a little easier. I just don't remember any of it. I remember during the Vietnam War demonstrations, I didn't know what the heck was going on. I was so enmeshed in my day-to-day life at home. I didn't know what was going on. I had an idea, but I didn't care.
Did you watch it on the news?
I read about it in the newspaper. I heard it on the radio. And beyond that, I mean, my life was totally consumed by the work I had to do as mother, wife, housekeeper, part-time worker.
Well, anything else? Any regrets?
I don't have any regrets because I can't have any regrets. There's nothing I can really be regretful over. So much of what happens in our lives are a reflection of the times that we live and the opportunities that we have to maybe do this versus this. And a lot of times we talk in terms of I chose this over this. We didn't really choose it. It just happens to be that we have only so many options, and I'll try this, and maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But we really don't have choices. I mean, I firmly believe we don't really have choices. Whatever choices we have are not by our own choosing. And the choices maybe I would have preferred weren't available to me, as they're not available to me today. So I don't have any great regret. I think we're born into life and we play it out like you play out a deck of cards as best as you can. And where you can make inroads, where you can make things better, I've always felt that you do it damn well as hard and as best as you possibly can. And, you know, where the way the chips fall, you know, most of those chips we don't have any control over.
Okay.
This is the end of the interview with Lorraine Rossman.